Okay, we're back with the last segment for the day. And actually, what I'm going to do is pass this over to Otto to introduce his bowling buddy. Uh-oh. But we're not talking about bowling.
No, we're not. But I actually just met Al at the bowling alley, basically, is what it comes down to. And we bowl in a bowling league called the Hopefuls.
We're not going to be fighting about who scored higher, are we?
No, Al's a better bowler.
Okay.
Once in a while I'm better, but not too often. But anyhow, we bowl in a league called the Hopefuls, which is kind of a good Project Independence thing, because we have people in this bowling league who are in their 90s.
Yep. Wow.
Some of them are pretty good, and some of them just stand up at the line and drop the ball, and maybe 5 minutes later, the ball gets down to the pins.
That's fine. They got there. they got up in the morning, and they came to bowl. That's the end of it.
They enjoy it.
Right.
Sometimes the ball stops before it hits the pins, but not, I'm just kidding, but that does come close to that, right? But we have a good time, and it's all seniors, and we have a good time. And I know Al is also, as I am, a golfer.
Yes.
Who plays golf at weird times of the year and so on. So, but that's not why we're here.
Right.
We're here because...
it's like a sports radio.
Yeah, right.
Sports radio.
This is not the whatever, you know. Al is a veteran, and I learned recently that he was also on the Veterans Advisory Committee, and we had Judy Bosworth on the show earlier, and she talked about it briefly. So I think the goal here is we want to be able to talk. LIU Post keeps an archive of veterans history, and we've basically focused earlier on World War II because there's a lot less of those people around, and it's going to be more difficult as time marches on to actually get the history. But then we also have people who were in the Cold War, Vietnam, Korea, and all the other conflicts that we've been in, and unfortunately more now. But we have not really talked to a lot of the younger people, but we should if you get right down to it. But anyhow, Al, what we usually try to do is talk a little bit about you from a veteran's point of view. You know, where did your life start? Where were you born? A little bit about your family.
Okay. I was born in Westbury. Actually, I was born in the house that my parents built in 1934. I lived in Westbury all my life until I joined the service in 1954. I spent 2 years during the Korean War, most of it in Ozark, Alabama.
Okay.
And during my time in service, I married. I married Mary Ann, my wife of 58 years. And we lived in Ozark, Alabama from February when we were married until November when I was discharged.
What was going on in Ozark, Alabama?
Well, if I remember at that time, there was a lot of going on with protesting and so on and so forth. But to be honest with you, I personally never saw much of it. I know I lived there with my wife for 9 months, but my time there was very peaceful. I never experienced any problems. I never looked for any problems, of course, but I never experienced any problems. And I met some great people while I was in Ozark, Alabama. The people that I rented from, they turned out to be such great people. They took us like I was their son and my wife was their daughter. So it was a great experience. Spending time in Alabama.
Yeah. Were you drafted or
no?
Did you
I volunteered.
Push a draft up or
I volunteered, as I said in November 1954, with a bunch of friends of mine that we grew up together. We all went into the service at the same time. We spent our training at Fort Dix, New Jersey. We're there for all of our training. I took infantry training and also I took automotive. Training over there, because my background previous to enlisting was an auto mechanic.
That's
what it was. So I did that. I took that course while I was in Fort Dix, New Jersey, and after that, I was sent to Ozark, Alabama.
So you were fortunate, and as was I. I was in during the Cold War, if you will, spent time on an aircraft carrier and whatnot for 2 years. I volunteered for the draft, and I was pushed my draft up. When you were in the military, what was your biggest adjustment that you had to face?
Well, I think the biggest adjustment I had to face was just realizing that it's going to be on a kind of a more of a schedule that I was used to. I mean, I can remember my first couple of days in Fort Dix, New Jersey. I went to bed. I remember going to bed at night, and before you know it, I had this sergeant pounding on me, telling me it's time to get up. You got to get moving. You know, so not that I was. A late sleeper before that, but it was kind of like a completely different routine. I didn't mind it. I think it was great. And I think a lot of the young people today should actually be maybe, I don't want to say forced to do that, but I think it would be a good education for them to spend a couple of years in the service to learn routines and what your responsibilities are and, you know, realize that, you know, everything isn't just very easy in life. There's some things you just have to adjust to. And I really had no problem adjusting to it. I enjoyed my time in the service. I had a good time in the service. I met a lot of good people in the service. Some of them I still be in contact with. But my 2 years were, I enjoyed my 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that you weren't in a conflict doesn't mean that you weren't there if they needed to have you in the conflict.
Right.
That's
correct.
You know, you were giving up 2 years of your life, basically, to put yourself in a position that if you were required to go there, you were. And frankly, if you were fortunate enough not to be required to go there, because I don't think any of the veterans we've talked to would want to necessarily do that part of it again. You know, the conflicts of war are not... you know, they're in the movies. That's fine. That's one thing. But in the real world, I don't think there's anything great joy in it. You know, seeing a friend of yours get killed next to you or something like that.
It's interesting, too, I think. I've never been in the armed service, actually. Vietnam ended as I was getting out of college. So the draft was over and that was it. But being what you did, like for 2 years, I think there's almost a nervousness to you almost get comfortable non-action, that all of a sudden you're saying, but I could get called tomorrow. I could get called tomorrow. Once you're in the middle of it, I'm in the middle of it. Yeah. So once I'm doing something, I'm no longer fearful of what's going on. That's just an opinion. I'm back in my head. I'm saying 2 years is a rough time to just keep thinking day you could get called.
You've given up 2 years of your life, basically.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know if you even think about that, because for the most part, when you're doing those things, I was like 19, 18 years old. I think you're too young and dumb to really have any idea what you're
doing. Oh, okay.
You know what I was going to add to that? But I don't really know that I really had that on my mind.
No, I think you're too young.
You know, I was 20 when
I have no idea.
Good point, though.
Yeah, I was 20 when I went in, and I really, really didn't think about, you know, I'm going to go into battle. Well, you know, I joined the Army, and if I had to be sent to Korea, then that's where I was going to go. I don't think I had that too much on my mind, you know? Like Otto said, I think when you're
young
when you're
and dumb,
like that,
I don't know. Nobody wants to hear that.
I'm talking about myself.
No, I understand what you said, but it's probably the truth, though.
Yeah, but I mean,
you're not thinking ahead. You're not really. No. You haven't been through life, so you're not looking back and saying, "Oh my God, what's going to happen tomorrow?"
But that's the thing. Like even that gets me with people that were in conflict is they're 18, 19 years old, and there they are, and that's true today, even with the young guys that we have that went to Iraq and Afghanistan, and you know, they're all young people for the most part, you know.
Not to interrupt you, but I belong to American Legion Incorporated, and we have quite a few World War II veterans, you know, that served Battle of the Bulge and so on and so forth, and they were 18, 19 years old, and when you speak to them about it, they really don't want to speak about it too often, but they'll tell you that, you know what, I was scared to death.
Mm.
You know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I was here, I was there. We hear firing going all over the place. And, I mean, 18, 19 years old and being in a fierce battle, like I said, I never experienced that. So I imagine it has to be quite a concern.
We've had a couple of people on the radio who were in the Normandy invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they every last one of them tell you they were, you know, they were afraid and they were nervous. And, you know, unless you're completely oblivious to what's going on around you. You know, some people probably don't have any fear, but for the most part, 98% of us do.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, you have to be a little afraid.
That few percentage of people that could just walk into something like that and have no...
They don't...
You know, they might lack a fear, might be also some other issue going on.
Unfortunately, or whatever, however you want to put it, veterans of World War II in particular, those that were in battle, they really don't want to talk too much about it. You know?
No. Some of them just started.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I think it's becoming a much more open, like we've had people on the radio here who were in World War II, and now they, you know, we've had people come here with books of the history of it, which is amazing, you know, with the photographs and the stories and, you know, but now I think a lot of them are starting to realize that if they don't talk about it, it's going to be lost.
That's correct.
And we're going to do the same damn thing all over again.
So, yeah, it is good that some of them are starting to speak about, you know, reading stories in the paper and so on and so forth. Yeah, I think it's important. I think the young generation should know a little bit about what happened back then. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and when people went into the war back then, they were gone for 3, 4, 5 years.
Yep.
No internet, no email, no nothing. You would get a letter once in a blue moon, maybe, if they could find you.
Yeah.
You know, it was a really different planet, you know.
It's the truth. And actually, even the way movies depict it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always, you know, America's always the hero.
Sure.
And you'll see a few people will die, but they're really passed over. They never get into the mind and the heart of the people who were doing it. And that night, how you're probably sick waiting for the next morning to come because there's another battle going on.
That's
and I'm just talking as a total outsider.
I mean, John Wayne,
to
my knowledge, never died.
No, that's
right, exactly.
Right.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah, he was. he kept on going.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't matter what was going on around him, but that's not how it really was.
Right, right.
You know?
And it's only today, and it's the truth of recording all this stuff, it's only today that people are, not today, but in the last few years, well, they want to get in touch with the person.
Yes.
And what you went through.
Sure.
And share that, which is the important sharing.
Yeah.
Not
right.
You got 7 people, you shot 2. I don't care how many you did. Yeah. I hope whatever happened, happened. That's not the point. But what you went through as a person is what'll change it for the future. Because people shouldn't have to go through things like that emotionally and psychologically.
And I think one thing that I found out from, well, and particularly World War II veterans, is that they don't really like to talk about whether or not they shot anybody or whatever the case may be. That's it's something that they really didn't enjoy. And if they did it, it was a matter of me or you.
Right.
That's the only reason they would do that. They did something like that. So not something they enjoy doing, unfortunately.
Yeah, which makes sense. And it's the same with anybody in that situation.
Sure.
Nobody wanted to go in there to see how many people I could shoot before I come home. No. We're going to take a break now. You're listening to Project Independence, and we'll be right back with Al.